This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Melissa Idris and Kusu Chuang, the top business stories of the day. FGV, Felda Global Ventures Holdings, it has denied talk that it will be announcing a large-scale restructuring or be taken over before the 14th general election on the 9th of May. This was in response to a report published on April 30th by the International Palm Oil Monitor, IPOM.
Right. So what essentially IPOM was saying, this report came out, the FGV chairman had come out to deny this report. So Dato' Azhar Abdul Hamid, if I was just to quote him, he said, "We're not disputing the fact that there are proposals involving corporate exercises at FGV. However, he is saying that at this point in time, they're going to evaluate and perhaps go through the proper governance trail because they are a listed company." Now, it is interesting to note that he's not denying that there are proposals involved. There are some kind of corporate exercises happening, but whether it is directly the same case that IPOM is making is a whole other matter. What I also find interesting is, Chuang, if you can explain a little bit what IPOM was reporting earlier this week.
Yeah, so the whole essence of the story was actually a three-part story, a three-part series. And it's a bit tabloidish in nature, yeah, IPOM. Yeah, so
it?
Basically they're citing sources. They saw, you know, basically representatives from two parties, right? One side of the one party made up of two Indonesian businessmen, Peter Sondak, who runs Eagle High, and Rajawali, and the other Indonesian was Matua Sitorus. In his personal capacity as the owner of Gama Plantations, he's of course also one of the co-founders of Wilma. So that's one party who was seen in the lobby of a 5-star hotel in KL. The other representatives were from a company called Tradewinds, the Malaysian now privatized plantation conglomerate owned by Syed Mokhtar. And apparently, an IPOM focused mainly on the Indonesian side of the equation, saying that the Indonesians wanted to come in as a white knight to save Felda Global Ventures, because obviously since the 2012 listing, he's had a really bad time. He's been losing money. He's been involved in a whole series of poor transactions. And I think what IPOM was alluding to the fact was that the Indonesians would come in and be a white knight of some kind, a savior for FGV. I think the overall thrust of the IPOM story was that actually this would be bad for Malaysians because it would fall into foreign hands. And this is, of course, a Tun Razak asset, which would benefit Malaysians and Felda settlers and what have you.
Okay, so the Indonesian parties, you mentioned Peter Sondak and Marjo Sitorus, so they're looking to inject their plantation assets into FGV, or rumoured to. But the way the article was phrased, and what got me thinking really essentially was that IPOM made it sound like this announcement of the injection of the plantation assets would be before polling day, right? So it would come before GE14, and it would be seen as a way, as a strategic move, seen as a way to kind of curry favour ahead of polls. And I was curious about that because I was thinking, how would people perceive this as a positive move?
Well, okay, one of the things to quote here is the FGV officials said in a statement that there's not only was there no truth to the story, they said it's also mischievous. And mischievous is the word they use. So the mischief, I think, is again related to the politicization of the FGV story. Now, because FGV, we all know, is separate from Felda. Felda owns some 33% of FGV, but Felda and FGV are separate entities.
Yes.
There are some connecting tissue, though, between the two, especially when it comes to the question of politics. If you remember, the Barisan Nasional Manifesto includes specifically that debts from bisettlers who purchase FGV shares will be written off. There is a connection when it comes to the opportunities and lifestyles of
Felda. Could you
read that again? So the debts for the purchase of FGV shares will be written off.
So settlers who bought FGV shares
and when they borrowed money to buy FGV shares, the debt they got into and the fact that the shares have not done well, that's going to be written off by Barisan Nasional if it takes power on the 9th of May.
Well, manifesto promises are exactly that, manifesto promises. But that's where the whole issue of the elections comes in, because obviously, if you are one of the settlers, and don't forget that 54 constituencies of Malaysia's 222 parliamentary seats are Felda majority seats, yeah? And obviously how Felda settlers feel and feel, you know, what drive their emotions will also drive their voting behavior. Now, this is positioned as a savior of some kind for their investment, quote unquote, in Felder Global Ventures, then it would be seen as a bit of a carrot on a stick.
So are we seeing this from two different lenses, from perhaps the voter lens or the voter block lens of Felder Settlers versus, say, the shareholders of FGV? One not being equally, not I mean, it could be there's an overlap of those two categories, right? So for the shareholders, if we were to look at it from the shareholders of FGV, you're looking at an injection of assets in exchange for shares, right? Wouldn't that also be a good thing because you would then be increasing the land bank of FGV, perhaps reducing the age of their trees, of their of the plantations? Wouldn't that be seen as a good thing?
Yeah, fantastic point of view, because shareholders of FGV, who are not necessarily Felder Settlers, would be quite buoyed by that news, because it then comes in at what valuation is FGV valued at, versus a settler who might have taken debt on at, you know, $4.20 or $4.30 per share at, you know, in the 2012 listing, who is massively underwater at this point in time. So two different considerations, right? And very good point of view. So it all depends whether this transaction occurs, at what valuation is this postulated at.
Okay, they also have in the news, Majlis Amanah Rakyat, or MARA, is contesting the appointment of two directors in Med Bumika Mara Sdn Bhd, the privately held company that ultimately controls a key 22% in the national car maker Perusahaan Automobil Kedua, or Perdua.
So this is turning out to be quite the courtroom, the boardroom drama, isn't it? I tell you,
I love them.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's like watching a soap. But so at this point in time, MARA saying that they're going to seek a court order to annul and or invalidate the recent appointments of these two directors. Apparently, they're claiming that the directors were appointed through what wasn't a properly convened board meeting. It was appointed through a circular resolution. So they say that circular resolution, so they being MARA, are claiming that that circular resolution is not valid. But at the crux of the matter, Chuang, essentially, it boils down to the EGM that happened on Monday, where, you know, you had 52% of, so slight majority, voting in favour of UMW's offer. And then you had the other 48% getting really upset and walking out of that EGM. So this is really because of the narrow margin of the majority. Now it's gone up to kind of a board level tussle.
Yeah, I mean, it's not because, you know, the thing is with a circular resolution is basically something which just gets passed through. It doesn't incur the voting behavior of your other board directors. Circulars are just basically basic
resolutions. Notices.
But this is absolutely germane because Med Bumika, with a 22.6% direct stake in Perodua, is going to be the kingmaker in this whole UMW transaction, because UMW have offered $2.56 per MBM share to essentially get control, right, of Perodua. And what's standing in their way is Med Bumika. And Med Bumika is comprised of a whole bunch of shareholders, one of which is MARA. And obviously MARA wants to get a better price than $2.56, right? And just the bare majority, as you quite rightly point out, 52% say yay to the UMW price, and 48%, the smaller majority, so smaller minority, say no. So if these two directors are voted in as per the EGM, then obviously it sways in favor of the current price of 256, which is not what they want.
Right.
They want a higher price. So that is, in essence,
So now they've gone to the courts to look at the appointments, the validity of the appointments of these two directors. So at the end of the day, it is a question of pricing, right? They're asking for a higher price. So what the dispute really is, for that offer of 250. But the repercussions of that is what that means for Perodua. So Perodua, with its longtime tech partner Daihatsu, who allegedly is not in favor of this.
Yeah, exactly. So in the midst of all this brouhaha, Daihatsu have basically said that, you know, they're not very happy with all these, you know, this politicking, this backstabbing and all these soap opera-ish behavior. Quite rightly so, right? I mean, you want to do business, you want to do good stuff in the industry. And if Daihatsu walks out of the whole Perodua stable, where does that leave Perodua? Because UMW is doing all this to get control of Perodua. And Perodua is doing so well because of the, partly because of the technology. So if that you know, important leg of the equation says, what is that in Japanese? Sayonara.
Right? So it's not a question of the larger vision or the question of control or the question of sovereignty. None of those apply. It's just the question of valuations. Is it in this particular case?
Yeah, yeah. You know, basically, yeah. Because UMW just wants to have another core business. You know, oil and gas obviously has not panned out for them. There's, you know, so they want to get beyond and really consolidate their auto business.
I will move on to the story of 7-Eleven. Berjaya Assets has emerged as a substantial shareholder in 7-Eleven Malaysia Holdings following a recent spate of purchases in the open market as well as direct deals.
Okay, so really, so Berjaya Assets, which owns 7-Eleven, which owns, I think, now a 5% stake in 7-Eleven, 5.4%. So Berjaya Assets controlled by Tan Sri Vizintan, founder of Berjaya Group, also by the Sultan of Johor, so Sultan Ibrahim, Sultan Iskandar. And it's going to be really quite interesting to see whether they continue increasing their stakes to double digits. And that will, I think, give a lot of credence to this speculated privatization.
Well, you know, when you analyze it, right, 7-Eleven hasn't really done that badly because their revenues has been okay. They're currently about 2.2 billion ringgit, up from 2.1 the year before, 2.06 the year before that. So from an earnings perspective, from a share price perspective, it hasn't been that bad, right? Mm. But, you know, obviously you want to buy something out when it's cheap. It's not that cheap right now.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin, then we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Dato' Muzamil Mohamad, country manager for Qatar Airways, country manager for Malaysia and Brunei. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.